low battery. So steht. So make sure. Low. This week's parsha, Parsha Vayera, has a lot of storylines in it. And it's one of the, you know, the really fun parshas that has a lot of the good stories. And it starts off with a story that is very interesting. It's a little bit unclear exactly what's going on in the story. But the Avraham Avinu had just had a bris milah. And these three malachim come, and he doesn't know the malachim. He invites them in. He does achnas arkim givaldik. So right in the beginning of the parasha, it says that where was Avram? He was in Eloine Mamre. So what's Eloine Mamre? The plains of Mamre. Who's Mamre? Zok the Medrash. Who's Mamre? Mamre was the person that Avram Avinu went to ask should he do a bris milah or not. So obviously this hits you as like, huh? When Hashem said to Shecht Yitzchak, did he go and ask, should he Shecht Yitzchak? Did he go start asking advice? When Hashem said Lech Lecha, did he start going around saying, should I really go? What do you think? Should I, shouldn't I? All of a sudden Hashem says, give yourself a bris milah. You know what? Hold on 1 second. Let's see what the Olam thinks. Let's just go around and ask different opinions. You think I should? You think I should? So what does it even mean that Avraham Avinu went to Mamre asking advice if he should do bris milah? That's not Avram's M.O. That's not his typical, that doesn't smell like Avraham Avinu. So what's going on? So the vision to Rebbe. Careful. Vision to Rebbe. Zichatzad the Kaddish of Racha. Alto. Who was it? It was the name. The Alto Vision to Rebbe. Who? Yeah. The Mechaim. I think it was the Mechaim. He says, Pshat. He says like this. He says, Givaldik. He says, of course Avraham Avinu was going to do the Bris Milah. That wasn't his Shiloh. His Shiloh was like this. He had a major Kiruv conundrum. Yeah, this major, like, massive Shiloh to go back and forth. You ready for the Shiloh? Watch it. This is a Shiloh of Avraham Avinu, okay? And you, people have the Shiloh nowadays. This is a real thing. Avraham Avinu's job in this world, and he knew it, was to go around and spreading HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yediyah, the knowledge of Hashem, spreading it around the entire world. Okay? Now, you want to, you know, show, you know, about Shabbos, you know, oh, Goyim love Shabbos. You know, they love Shabbos. Oh, the idea of Shabbos, wow, put away our phones, you have family time. You tell a guy about Shabbos, you know, it speaks to them a little bit. It speaks to them. You know, even kosher, by the way, right? So if you frame it in a certain way, a lot of guys will be like, wow. Because all the disgusting stuff they put into fast food now, it's so clean and it sounds so healthy. And there are guys that only eat kosher because of that. They only eat kosher meat because it's more healthy. So there's a lot of things in Yiddishkeit that you can like tell over to people, and even not from people, and it's very appetizing. And it's something that is oh, you know what, I wanna be part of that. But when a 90-year-old person tells the world, I gave myself a bris milah at 90 years old, a sakonas nefashos. So that's not a recipe for people lining up by the door to become a yid. So Avraham Avinu was thinking to himself, like the vision Sereba, hold on a second. My whole job is to be makar of people. If I do this mitzvah publicly, there might be a chil Hashem involved. Because Lamaisa, people, you know, this is not such a good look. On the other hand, so maybe I should do it privately. Maybe I shouldn't do it b'fnei kol am v'ed. I shouldn't tell anyone about it. On the other hand, if I do it privately, but what about maybe there are people that are going to be inspired? Wow, look how much he believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's even willing to go into sakanas the fashas for Hashem. Wow. So, you know what? That's someone who really, you know, gives up for his beliefs. So there was this cure of conundrum going on. Right? Well, which one is it going to be? Is it going to push more people away, or is it going to bring more people in? So he went to Mamre. Why did he go to Mamre for? Because Mamre was unbiased. Mamre was a friend of his. He was unbiased. He was one of the Hamayne Am. He was one of the people. He went to go ask Mamre, not if he should do Bris Mila, how do you view me doing Bris Mila? How do you view that? Do you view it as something, you know? And Mamre told him, it's an unbelievable thing. You meiser nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you listen to him even when it's dangerous, and that's what he told him. And the Mela, that's why Avraham Avinu did it. Not only did it, he did it publicly. So it's a very important yesod, right? Which is a lot of times, you know, you didn't walk in the street, and it's, you know, I was speaking to my class about this, to, you know, this today, yesterday, I forgot. It was today. Right, we were speaking about it in Shir, that like, there are people that go around and they're trying to hide the fact that they look like a Yid, right? Because they feel embarrassed. You know, they feel embarrassed, they feel like a little bit uncomfortable. You know, it's not comfortable when you're in a certain culture and you look like a completely different culture. It's not comfortable. You know, people go to Saudi Arabia, right, the Emirates, right, the UAE, and they come there, and everyone there is wearing robes, and so people who are not even Muslim are putting on the robes. They're putting it on, you know, because when you're in a place, you want to kind of feel like the culture. You kind of want to fit in, right? No one likes feeling uncomfortable. So there are many, many people, and specifically with teenage Bachrim, for sure, but even older people have this to a certain extent, where when they're going out into the world, it's like, I want to try to fit in as much as possible. So I know I'm a Jew, obviously I'm not going to do anything that's us or anything, whatever it is, but what I have to wear my tzitzit out. I have to have, so my, I can't wear a baseball cap. I have to wear a white shirt. I have to show that. And not only that, if I'm wearing, let's say, a white shirt, black pants during Bina Zmanim, let's say, right? Off Shabbos coming up, right? I need people associating me with whatever I associate that with, right? I need people looking at me and saying, you know, oh, look, why can't you just fit in? You're on vacation. Just chill out, relax. It's a very uncomfortable feeling for people. Very uncomfortable feeling to be that way. So on the one hand, you could think, so maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should try to fit in, Taka. But Urevim Abrius, get together with everyone. You know, it's a much better. On the other hand, you're part of a club. You're part of a group, right? You're becoming B'nai Torah. You're part of a group. And you kind of want to show that off. If you're proud of it. If you're proud of being part of that group, you kind of want to show off that group. Right? So you know, a guy, like I was telling him today, like a guy in the army is going to wear a pin. You know, if he's a Navy SEAL, he's going to wear a thing saying that he's a Navy SEAL. Why? But you're not Urvim Abrius. You're walking around that people are going to think you're different and you should feel uncomfortable and not part of the culture. Yeah, but I'm proud of this. It's the opposite. It's I'm walking out. I want to announce to the world I am part of something special. So that's really what Mamre was telling Avraham Avinu of how he would look at it, how the people would look at it. The people are going to look at it the opposite. When a person walks around with his beliefs, and he walks around not caring what other people are going to say about it, but he walks around with his conviction. This is what I feel is right. This is who I want to be. And this is who I'm going to show the world that I am. I'm not hiding it for nobody. So a person who does that gets more respect from people looking than less. Yeah, you'll have the people who like you stare, but Be'etzem, you get more respect. It's a little, in your mind, it doesn't like necessarily always like compute, but it is that way. People get more respect when they hold on to their values. You know, Ben Shapiro, right? The big political analyst, right? Ben Shapiro wears the yarmulke, right? He's in, like, he goes to colleges, campuses, and stuff. And it's very, very uncomfortable to go to all these places where it's among all Goyim, basically, and to wear a yarmulke. It's uncomfortable. You're like, you're stating, especially in today's day and age with the, you know, with anti-Semitism and everything, it's very uncomfortable. So he spoke about why does he wear a yarmulke? Because why should he hide it? He's proud. He's proud to be a Yid that is doing this, right? So he proudly wears the yarmulke. He's going on CNN, he's wearing his yarmulke. Why should I not? Because I don't fit in? So that's what Mamre was telling Avram. That's what Mamre was telling Avram. Now, what is something that is extremely powerful when you are walking around and displaying your Ben Torah kite? What is something that hits people, right? What hits people is something called Menschlichkeit. It means if you're a person who is sensitive to other human beings, meaning you're not just nice to people who deserve it, you're not just respectful to people that are older than you, you're not just into people that are, you know, and respectful to people that are that are cool, but even the people who maybe are not so nice, maybe the people that get on your nerves, or the people that you meet in the street that are you know, the person filling your tank with gas. Like, what do I need to be? I have to be like nice to him. Like, I'm saying he's getting paid to fill my gas tank. Like, I'm saying, you know, or the cashier behind the counter or anything. Menschlichkeit means the idea that every single human being deserves a level of respect. There's a maestro with the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi would go around, and he didn't like telling people who he was. And in those days, it was very hard to know, you know, what a gadol looked like. You know, a lot of times you didn't know. You heard of the name, but you never knew what they looked like. There were no newspapers and stuff like that for pictures. So he went around. He was the Rav of Slutsk at the time. And he was once going with his wagon driver, and it was snowing, and it was terrible weather. And they realized they had to stop somewhere. So they're looking, they went into the forest, looked, and they found like this little house, you know, had a few rooms. It was obviously like an inn, but it was like a small, you know, inn. Anyways, they go, they knock on the door, no answer. Knock, knock, no answer. No. Finally they hear, "Who's there?" I say, "Oh, sorry, we're on our way to, you know, we got stuck, we need a place to stay tonight. I don't have any empty beds." And he goes, you know, "That's it, get away." You know, so he says, "Okay." They knock again. "What do you want?" He says, "We'll sleep anywhere. Just give us something." So finally, this guy opens up the door. He sees these people. He goes, "Okay, you know," lets them in, takes them over to the kitchen, puts down a stool, and says, "Here, you could sit here for the night." And then, so the Beis HaLevi comes. Okay, what does the Beis HaLevi do? He takes out a candle, he lights it, and he starts learning. This guy comes out from the other room and he goes, "You're disturbing people's sleep. Put out that candle. Put out the thing." He starts screaming at him. He says, "Okay." Puts out the candle. He starts chazering bal peh. All of a sudden, the person, the innkeeper, comes running out of his room, goes to the front door, opens it up, and he sees that there's this wagon with a chash of a gadol coming out, and it was one of the rebbes of the time, one of the gedolim of the time, and he comes out and he goes, "Oh, Rebbe, welcome, thank you for coming to my inn, thank you for coming to visit," and he brings him in, and he turns on the lights, and he lights all the candles, and he starts giving him food, and thing. Meanwhile, this gadol walks into the kitchen to wash his hands, and who does he see sitting on a stool? But the Slutsker Rav, the Beis HaLevi, and he goes, "The Slutsker Rav is here! The Slutsker Rav is here!" And he says, "Come and join me." And they sit at the table like mamish, like two malachim in the front of the table, and they're eating out. And everyone was so unbelievably happy except for one person. That was the innkeeper, and he's feeling as guilty as anything. "I can't believe that's the way I treated the Slutsker Rav." So he went So the Sotz Gerav, when he had a moment of time, and he said, he's like, I need to ask Mechila from me. I didn't realize. I just didn't know. So the Sotz Gerav, so the Beis Halevi said, he said, when Shechem took Dinah from Yaakov, so when the brothers heard, the brothers said two things. Number one, they told Shechem, they said, number one, they heard that a nevala was done in Klal Yisrael. To take Yaakov Avinu's daughter? Terrible. Then they add a phrase, V'chein lo yeyaseh. And it's also not done. What was that extra phrase? So the Beis Halevi said the extra phrase was, number one, yes, it's terrible that you did this to the daughter of Yaakov. But V'chein lo yeyaseh, stam, it wasn't a normal thing to do. Stam, it's a bad thing to do, even to a regular human, even to a normal person who's not the son, the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. The Beis Halevi said, I can be Michael you if you treated me like a regular person, just you didn't treat me like a gadol. Then I can be Michael, because you didn't know. But you didn't even do that. You treated me like a behemoth. So he said, you come, he says, I want you to come to learn by me for a certain amount of time, for a year, I think he said. And he said, I'm going to teach you how to be machnas oirech. And they say that from and he went, he learned with him, and he came back, and his achnas arkham was off the charts. Right? When Loit, right, that's called menschelchay. When Loit took the malachim in, it was very scary. Very scary. He was going to die. Who knows what was going to happen? Unbelievable achnas arkham that Loit did. Avram Avinu, there was no sakana of him taking these three people in. But yet, who's the one that we look to for the Machnas Eirech, who is the symbol of Achnas Arkham? Avram Avinu. Why, Light was way bigger risk what Light did. But the pshat is, Light knew they were Malachim. So to be Meiser Nefesh for Malachim, that people could do. Avram Avinu was Meiser Nefesh on the third day of Milah and treated them like kings to three random Arabs that were just walking through the desert. That's Achnas Arkham. That's Menschelchay. So we're going to be on off Shabbos in Mitzvah Shem. And the idea is, number one, go around being proud that you're a Yid. But number two is Menschelchay. When you're going around, people are looking. And Lamaisa, when you act with a refined nature, right? You act with a, you know, you're not being loud and boisterous. You know, you're acting like a Ben Taira. People look. People notice that. And people respect it more. And it gets people to it actually inspires people. So Mitzvah Shem, everyone should take this off Shabbos. It should be an aliyah, Mitzvah Shem, for future steiging. Mitzvah Shem. Huh?
First message on the
what?